we consider more than any other time of the year, our Savior's birth, the Prince of Peace, as we read in God's Word. I'll be sharing another message on peace. Nothing has changed since the last time I shared a message on this subject, about 2012. We all still desire and need peace, don't we? Goodwill, peace, goodwill toward men. So I have a question. Are you at peace this morning? Are you at peace this morning? Peace is harmony, tranquility, a calm or quiet place, freedom from war. The world we live in is not a peaceful place, is it? Of course, very recently we've had the attacks in Israel, and now they're at war. There's really never been peace since the very beginning when sin entered into the heart of man. We read that Adam and Eve sinned, and their sin was passed to their sons, Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, we read of two sacrifices that were offered to God. Abel offered an animal sacrifice. That was pleasing to God, wasn't it? But Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, not what God had required in that instance. God was not pleased with his offering. And then in Genesis 4:5, we read that Cain was wroth, or he was filled with anger, with rage. And then in Genesis 4:8, we read that Cain killed his brother Abel. One wrote this about that: "Thus begins the long history of human violence and man's inhumanity to his fellow man. Certainly no peace." Listen to the wars that we have experienced by this country alone over the years. The Revolutionary War, the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan. Besides these major wars and conflicts, you'll find many others. And this is just concerning our own country here in America, but think of all the wars and conflicts that have occurred or are occurring worldwide even now. This non-peaceful state continues today and will continue. Turn to Matthew 24 as we consider the words of our Lord. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Speaking of the end of the age. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." The end is not yet. Here the Lord Jesus speaks of the last days, but we know good news is coming. And if we go a little further in Matthew 24:14, the Lord says this: "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." You know, in today's world, this, with our modern technology, this is now possible, isn't it? The Lord could come at any time to call his church home. Only God knows when the last person will be saved in this age of grace. And after the church is taken out or caught up, called the rapture, There will be a time of 7 years of tribulation. We read of that in Revelation 6. Then we read of the final wars. In Revelation 19, the Lord returns. The armies of the world make war against him. In Revelation 19, 19, we read that they are defeated. Then in Revelation 20, Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and then he's released. Then we read of one final war. In Revelation 20, 8 and 9, those gathered against God are destroyed by fire sent from heaven. Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Evil and sin is no more. And then in Revelation 21, 4, no more death or sorrow, a new peaceful world. I know we all look forward to that. We've considered world peace, but what about our individual peace? The word peace appears approximately 430 times in Scripture and over 100 times in the New Testament alone. Vine's Biblical Dictionary describes or defines peace as this: to be silent, to reconcile, to have a harmonious relationship. And you've heard before, but there are two kinds of peace concerning God and us: peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God and the peace of God. When we think of the peace with God, we read Romans 5:1 says this: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were enemies, now at peace with God. And Romans 5:10 says this: for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. There's an old saying, it's older now, and it says, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Sounds like the same statement, but if you look at the spelling, it's N-O Jesus, N-O peace, and then K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. The only way we can have peace is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2, verse 12 through 14, and then 16. Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, what words? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall, a separation. And then verse 16 says this: and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, or we could say the war. I believe this is speaking of two things. The middle wall is broken down between Jew and Gentile. But more importantly, that middle wall is broken down between God and man. Christ has done that by making peace through his cross. So again, do you have peace with God this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Again, in Ephesians 2:14, it says, for he himself, speaking of the Lord Jesus, is our peace. Perhaps one here today or one listening at some point, I would challenge you, if you've not done so, confess your sin to God. Turn to him. The Bible talks about repentance, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He is the only way to obtain peace with God. John 14:6, we have it up there on our bulletin. I believe Cecil did that as well. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one or no man comes to the Father except through me. I hope here today or anyone listening to this message has peace with God. That brings us to the second part of this peace of God. The peace of God is that tranquility of mind, freeing the believer from fear or worry. Don't we all need that at times? Peace that we may not be able to understand in our human minds. It's because it's divinely bestowed, isn't it? It sounds perfect. Well, it is perfect because it comes from the one who is perfect. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Peace, perfect peace for those whose mind is stayed on God. Question for you, is it easy for a believer to remain close to God, to continually focus on him and live in the perfect peace that he offers? Well, I would say no. I'm sure you would agree. It's not easy. Every born-again believer is in a battle between the spirit and the flesh against good and evil. Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." The Apostle Paul, truly a mighty man of God, wrote 13 of the New Testament books. Some believe he did Hebrews as well. But he had the same struggle about battling between the flesh and the spirit. Turn to Romans 7. Romans 7, go down to verse 15, and we'll see the struggle that the Apostle Paul had between the flesh and the spirit. Romans 7:15, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." And then go down to verse 19. "For the good that I will do, I do not. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." William MacDonald writes this about this passage in the overall subject, I guess. "The spirit and the flesh are in constant conflict, war, not peace." And he continues, "God gave us his own Holy Spirit to indwell every born-again believer. God's spirit and our flesh are perpetually at war, and this will continue to be at war until we are taken home to heaven." We read that God gives every born believer his spirit. We could think of this, the spirit and how it produces fruit in the believer's lives. 9 types of fruit are mentioned in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, or the virtues, are the product or outcome or effect produced by the Spirit in every believer's life. The fruit produced starts off with love, joy, peace, and 6 others. Living in the Spirit and remaining close to God is our source of peace, isn't it? How can we maintain this closeness to the Lord? Well, it's through continued prayer and reading his precious word. Let's look into God's word concerning the peace he offers to us and also the peace that we should offer to others. First, we have the peace we can have while we are in the world. Again, the world is anything but peaceful. Wars, conflict, fighting. John 16:33, the Lord says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In the world we will have tribulation, but in and through the Lord Jesus Christ we can have peace. And in John 14:27, the Lord says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. the Lord promises peace that only he can give. Again, peace from worry, peace from fear, no matter what the world sends our way. Remember, a born-again child of God has his spirit within them. And in 1 John 4:4, we read this, "Greater is he," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "that is in you, than he," speaking of Satan or evil, "that is in the world." Satan would rob our peace, wouldn't he? Jesus Christ gives peace, peace through his spirit, which is greater. He gives his peace to his own, even in this not-so-peaceful world. Then we have peace concerning our dealing with others, others around us. First, we could think of the lost. Turn to Romans 12, 18, if we're still in Romans. Romans 12, 18. Romans 12, 18. I've heard my brother Charles quote this verse many times. Romans 12, 18. "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." If it is possible. In other words, those things that depend on us and how we handle things. Seek to live peacefully with all men. We can try to get along with others and to live peaceably, but sometimes it will not. And we could wonder why, but it's because we're different. Our focus is on things of the Lord, and most around us focus on the things of the world. As followers of the Lord, we are to be his peacemakers. We've just read that in Romans 12, 18. We can be a witness for our Lord in how we react to life's negative situations, can't we? During conflict, do we get angry or remain calm and peaceful? James 1:19 says this, "So then, my beloved brethren," speaking of believers, "be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger." How about during crisis, do we worry or fear, or do we demonstrate that peace that our Lord promises us, knowing that no matter what, he is in control, and he will see us through. When we go through these times that we lean on the Lord, our peace will be viewed as strength to others, strength that they will wonder about, strength that they will want. Again, we have a chance to be a witness for our Lord, the one who gives us peace, a chance to share the scriptures that promise peace. And thirdly, we have the peace concerning the church, peace concerning the church. Turn to Ephesians 4. First three verses, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, the first three verses. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This speaks of, we just read, we should be humble, gentle, have patience, maintain that unity. Corinthians 13:11, Paul writes this, "Be of good comfort, be of one mind that he desires for us to have." Again, Ephesians 4:3 says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." It means to make a serious and sincere effort to achieve something. We can be thankful for the peace we have with God in prayer, seeking the peace that he offers. Let us all pray for his peace. Peace for others. Pray that the lost will see their need for a Savior and put their peace for our country. peace for our world. 22:6, and that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Of course, Israel continued to do that, not just there, but other areas. Think of the Russians invading. I think we could pray for the peace to be returned and for the leadership and get back to a peaceful situation with their neighbor. I close with a greeting given by the Apostle Paul in his epistles. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, remember the words of Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Of course, the you is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to have his perfect peace. Turn to number 386 in the hymn book. Number 386. Peace, peace is mine, number 386. Let's sing this together. God's almighty arms around me, peace, peace is mine. Judgment scenes need not confound me, peace, peace is mine. Jesus came himself and sought me, sold to death he found and bought me. Then my blessed freedom taught me, peace, peace is mine. While I hear life's rugged billows, peace, peace is mine. Why suspend my harp on willows? Peace, peace is mine. I may sing with Christ beside me, though a thousand ills betide me. Safely he hath sworn to guide me. Peace, peace is mine. Every trial draws him nearer, peace, peace is mine. All his strokes but make him dearer, peace, peace is mine. Bless I then the hand that smiteth, gently and to heal delighteth. 'Tis against my sins he fighteth, peace, peace is mine. Welcome every rising sunlight, peace, peace is mine. Nearer home each rolling midnight, peace, peace is mine. Death and hell cannot appall me, safe in Christ, whatever befall me. Calmly wait I till he call me, peace, peace is mine. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the peace that you have for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with you once we were afar off, without hope in the world. But in and through the Lord Jesus, we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Sins have been washed away. We have acceptance into your presence, and we can have that peace that the heart of man so desires, Lord, as you know. And for those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can have your peace, the peace of God, that at times passes our own understanding. We don't understand or can explain how we can go through certain situations without worry or fear or anger. But we can if we would just look to Jesus, be guided by your Spirit that indwells us, to look at a situation. And Lord, through this, we can be a bold witness for those around us, for the lost. And Lord, if it is within us and that we receive peace from a holy God, from the God of the universe, opportunity. Again, we're mindful of all the problems be upon all, knowing that it won't be a perfect peace until the Prince of Peace comes again, encourage us and guide us. Help us to keep looking up to the author and finisher of our faith, the author of all things, the one who desires for us to be peaceful. As he said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. We pray now that you'll dismiss us in peace with your blessings. Bring us to our respective homes in safety. And we do pray for our brother Mark Beebe, as he'll be, Lord willing, he'll be here next coming Lord's Day. And in the coming weeks, as we finish out another year, we pray for brother Mark Murphy, Jay Martinez, Jacob Thomas. Bless these dear brothers, Lord. And again, we're thankful for this time we've been able to focus on your wonderful peace. It's all because you love us and you want the best for us. Dismiss us now with your blessing, we pray, as we ask this in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.